across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Who has a lot of ground to cover in a very busy hour up ahead. State Representative Katrina Shanklin is standing by, and we'll be talking about her campaign for Congress in just a few minutes here. One of three candidates running in the 3rd Congressional District Democratic primary. We will have Eric Wilson at this time tomorrow, Rebecca Cook this time on Thursday. Representative Shanklin has been endorsed by Congressman Mark Pocan, and he happens to be our guest at the bottom of the hour. And I'm sure he has a lot to say about yesterday's congressional hearing involving Dr. Fauci and the circus-like behavior of some of the people who were questioning him yesterday. Chad Holmes from Bull Falls Radio will be joining us later in the hour. Also, we have Luke Mathers in for Greg Bach today. Brittany Merlot is here to tell us about the weather. But first, we have our Scani Summer Statewide Text to Win contest to tell you all about here. Now, again, for this, and you know, Luke, you feel free to correct me as need be. The Scani Summer Text to Win contest. It's a statewide effort where if you use the Civic Media app, you can text a keyword a few different times of the day. It changes each hour, or not every hour, but changes throughout the course of the day. You text that in, and you have a chance to win cool prizes.
Yeah, you've got chances to listen and win every hour from every other hour from 7 a.m. through the 7 p.m. hour. So think of it this way. From now until Friday, June 14th, next week Friday, if you're listening to your favorite Civic Media programs every other hour, from 7 a.m. through 9 a.m. through 11 a.m., so on, all the way through the 7 p.m. hour, you have a chance to win Wisconsin Dells prize packs, Milwaukee Brewers club-level seats, and enter into a grand prize drawing for a stay in an excellent staycation location here in the state of Wisconsin in places like Lake Geneva, Door County, and others.
That's cool. And all you got to do is text a keyword?
Listen.
Okay.
Every other hour, you're going to get a new keyword. You have that entire hour to text it in, and that will enter you in to win some of those prizes.
So here,
for a chance win some of those prizes.
So people are like, okay, shut up, Mathers. What's the keyword for this hour?
For this statewide contest, too, though.
It is. Yes. The keyword for this hour is drink. So just go to the Civic Media app and text, go to one of the stations that airs Up North News Radio, and text drink, D-R-I-N-K. If you got that keyword in, you're entered into the drawings for these prizes. That's part of our Scani Summer Statewide Text to Win contest. Again, you've got till 8 o'clock to text that in our way. Brittany Merlot is here. And Brittany, you can't see, but there's actually another presence here in the studio in Chippewa Falls that has not been here before. Humidity. I was saying last hour, the lowest humidity I could find was 84%. Few places,
wow.
Fog and 100% humidity. It's that time of year now.
It surely is. We've got that warm front right now lifting across the state, and just north of the front is where the thickest fog is. So anywhere from Shawano to Clintonville, Stevens Point, even into Medford and Superior, you are looking at visibilities less than a mile right now. Now that fog will start to eventually clear over the next hour. We are going to see mostly cloudy skies behind it, though. Not the prettiest day and not the best feeling either. Like Pat mentioned, it is muggy out there, and it's only going to get worse as we go through the afternoon. We're going to have some breezy winds out of the south, gusting up to about 20 miles per hour, pumping in some warm temperatures, that heat, that humidity. And in fact, highs today are going to soar to the low to mid 80s. So we're going to get warm, feeling like summer. And then, of course, a cold front is going to slam into us this evening. But first and foremost, by about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, we're going to see a little disturbance really start to fire up some showers and storms anywhere across the state. I do think it's going to roll in from Illinois and across that state line into the southern half. But shortly after, showers and storms do fire up in the northern part too. So keep that in mind this afternoon. We could see some of those producing some hail. Otherwise, this evening, that cold front does move across the state, sweeps eastward. It looks the strongest into northwest Wisconsin, and it really wants to fizzle out as it hits the east areas and across Lake Michigan. So as it does so, it looks like it wants to start around 6 o'clock into northwest Wisconsin, We could see up to a half an inch to maybe an inch of rain in some of these storms. So there is a flash flood watch out there for you guys. That lasts until tomorrow morning. And of course, all of this rain will be gone by tomorrow afternoon. We'll have some cooler air really shutting it all off.
Let's see. First off, from the text line, Ben from Oshkosh. Question for the weather part of the show. That must be you. Are we out of drought status yet? Where are we sitting as far as rainfall? And I quickly checked the map, and it looked like, with the exception of a little piece of central Wisconsin and up near Ashland Iron, there's really nothing left that counts as drought status, right?
Correct. I mean, just abnormally dry into Sauk County. I think it was Ashland and Iron, and I think just a little bit of drought into Iron County, and that was it. Okay. So we're really, really good right now.
From Rob, good morning from Tigerton. It's cloudy and 63. The fog is lifting after near zero visibility. Brittany, my birthday is tomorrow. I'm hoping for a nice day.
Oh, happy birthday. I think tomorrow might be a little rainy in the morning, but we will see some sunshine to end your birthday.
And then he says, did you see the Bull Falls Radio Facebook page from last Friday of a picture of a cougar along Comet Road in the town of Germania near my residence?
I just
called that up, and I'm seeing, well, he says a cougar in his thing, and the text cat or the photo caption says a bobcat, you know, potato, potato. Either way, if I see that in the woods, nope. Nope.
I'm leaving right now.
Yep. Absolutely am. All right. Brittany, thank you so much. Have a great day.
You too. Bye, guys.
All right. Reminder before we bring in Representative Shanklin here that Civic Media has been broadcasting some of the candidate forums for the 3rd Congressional District Democratic primary. And that will be the case again next week, next Wednesday, June 12th. The three candidates will be at UW-Platteville for a forum, 6:30. You'll be able to catch that on several Civic Media stations. We will be telling you much more about that in the days ahead. But now, for the first of three interviews today, tomorrow, and Thursday, let's bring in one of the candidates running for Congress in the 3rd Congressional District, and that would be State Representative Katrina Shanklin. Representative Shanklin, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, thank you for your patience. A busy Tuesday morning here, but we're so glad to have you here now. We had all the candidates on several weeks back, and we thought it was high time for an update on what you've been doing, saying, what you've been experiencing from the special world that is Derek Van Orden's, if you catch him on social media versus, you know, the way that he tries to talk to the TV stations and in real life. DC's a mess. You don't need me to tell you that. So let's just start with an overview, Katrina. How are things going on the campaign?
I'm having so much fun. We're logging the miles and we're getting everywhere. So really enjoying the opportunity to meet new people, to catch up with friends I've met along the way over the last 8 months on the campaign trail. And, you know, it's summer, so lots of new picnics, fairs. It's June Dairy Month, so dairy breakfast. And so really appreciating the opportunity to connect with voters. People are tuning in, and I appreciate Civic Media for hosting our two forums thus far. We have another one coming up, I believe, next week already. And so as we head into, you know, the height of campaign season this summer, I'm really grateful for the opportunity to share my message of being the only candidate in this race with experience, not only winning elections, but getting things done. And that really resonates with voters who know that we get one real shot at taking out Derek Van Orden. And he is hopefully only just a one-term member of Congress. We're about to retire him. He's an extremist who really is not only not getting things done, but doing it in a weird way in Congress. And one example of that I really want to highlight is with the farm bill. So he likes to call himself the cheese king. He likes to brag that he's the first member of Congress from Wisconsin who has been on the Agriculture Committee in more than a decade. But how did he use his position in Congress for the farm bill? He presided over $27 billion in cuts to food share, proceeded to claim that it wasn't a cut, but we know that, you know, the same amount of money over 5 years absolutely amounts to a cut for families and seniors. And then on top of that, he had a weird conversation and debate in the House Agriculture Committee where he was essentially not only opposing the enforcement of child labor laws from the 1930s, but really making it clear that he doesn't think that a $1.5 million fine for violating child labor laws is fair. So that's who Dirk Van Worden is. And I think the best contrast to someone like him is someone like me who's been in the legislature getting things done, delivering results, and who knows how to win elections. So we're going to keep spreading that word.
And when you mentioned, you know, some of his comments in the committee, I'm also reminded of the time a few weeks back when he said, well, we wouldn't be sending food to Nazi Germany, so why are we sending food to China? Saying in so many words, let's just, like Trump did in his first term, let's just again cut off a major purchaser of Wisconsin agricultural goods, you know, on a whim. It showed a fundamental misunderstanding of how markets work and the leverage that you have in diplomacy with or without those markets.
That's absolutely right. And I don't think he understands that Wisconsin farmers overwhelmingly rely on export markets. And I actually told that story at an event in Menominee just a couple weeks after he said it, because that's about a $340 million market for Wisconsin farmers. There were a number of farmers in the room who gasped audibly. They genuinely couldn't believe that he would say something so heavy-handed and wrong. And so I'm making it my mission to get the word out about Dirk Van Worden, who he is, what he's doing, and what he's not doing. He's not delivering for the people of Wisconsin. And I think the best candidate we have to replace him is the one who has. I have co-authored and co-sponsored, as well as introduced 225 bills that were signed into law. And I personally presided over three different bills that created new programs for farmers to help them with water quality and conservation and soil health. And so I think that someone who served on the Agriculture Committee in Wisconsin, who's actually gotten things done for farmers versus someone who pretends to, Dirk Van Worden, is a very powerful contrast.
225 bills. Now, how many of them were passed, you know, easily because Democrats had the majority and so they'd pass whatever bills you wanted? How many of those 225 passed with Democratic majorities?
Zero.
Zero. Zero. So these were all bipartisan bills that you got done.
Absolutely.
Katrina Shanklin is our guest state representative, and we're going to be talking more on the other side of the break here about the farm bill. Dirk Van Worden continuing to insist, just outright calling people liars when he says that, you know, they're accusing him of cutting nutrition programs, when that's exactly what it is. He's cutting nutrition programs. So we'll talk more about that with Katrina Shanklin, and we'll have Congressman Mark Pocan coming on in just a bit. Chad Holmes to follow. Brewers fall in Philadelphia, opening a three-game series there, 3-1. Reese Hoskins with an emotional homecoming to Philadelphia and hitting a solo shot in the seventh for the Brewers' only run of the game. They'll do it again at 5:40. 5:05 pregame on several Civic Media radio stations. Back with Katrina Shanklin after this. You're up north. Bruce Springsteen's Born in the USA album, released this day 40 years ago, and that is in no way depressing as I contemplate how old that makes me. State Representative Katrina Shanklin now, Congressman Mark Pocan coming up in just a few minutes here on Up North News Radio on this Tuesday morning, June 4th. Nice to have you along. Katrina serves in the legislature in a district that has its fair share of dairy breakfasts. Now she's in a congressional district that is wild with dairy breakfasts. We talked at length about this on the program yesterday, talking to somebody from the southeastern corner of the state who'd never been to one. Look, being a candidate, being a lawmaker is not the easiest job. But man, those dairy breakfasts are fun, aren't they?
They're one of my favorite things. I actually love serving food at the Portage County Dairy Breakfast, and you get to see thousands of people. It's a wonderful experience. It's a great way to reconnect with people. And I especially enjoy chatting with farmers who will always tell me how things are going. And so, you know, it's a good way to check in with our leaders in agriculture.
Yeah. And they like to see their candidates and lawmakers face to face. You know, they get the mail and they see commercials and everything, but to actually get a chance to talk to you, especially those folks, and so many of them, you know, will self-identify as independents. And so they just want to meet the person and talk to them about the issues. We've talked a bit about the farm bill here, and we've had, you know, several guests on already to talk about it. And last time Congressman Pocan was on here, we talked about the notion of Republicans pulling the old budget trick of saying that, you know, something's not cut. We didn't cut any money to it, but if you don't add any money, You can't pretend inflation doesn't exist. Yeah, it's a cut. It's going to serve fewer people. But it's not just that, as you mentioned in the previous segment, Representative Shanklin, but also things like the various conservation and environmental programs that are good for farmers, good for conservation. You know, that one is an outright cut, and it would not be good for Wisconsin farmers or our natural resources.
That's absolutely right. So they actually take... There's a provision in the Inflation Reduction Act called Climate Smart Agriculture. And so that's really about keeping carbon in the ground, carbon sequestration, but it's also about supporting our soil health, keeping the soil on the ground and our water. And that, I think there's about $14 billion that they're taking from there and claiming that they're funding it into the conservation title. But really what that means is there's $14 billion fewer dollars for farmers overall, because if you're taking from one program to fund another, you're actually just only funding one program and not both, right? And I hope that people recognize that when Republicans constantly reassure them on Twitter and on Facebook, oh, no, it's not a cut. If they have to say it's not a cut, we know that we're winning. And we know that, you know, the narrative is, hey, they're on defense. They are acutely and keenly aware of the fact that they are cutting and slicing and gutting key programs in the farm bill. And in addition to that, they, by the offering that $27 billion adjustment, which would essentially amount to a cut because of inflationary costs, they have completely broken a longstanding and durable coalition of Democrats and Republicans who support the farm bill. The reason why SNAP food share benefits have always been in the farm bill is specifically to build a long-lasting coalition of folks from both urban and rural communities, Republicans and Democrats, to assure its passage. And let's keep in mind, the farm bill is already late. The deadline, you know, the new deadline for the farm bill is September 30th. And I'm extremely concerned that because Republicans chose to make this a partisan bill that broke the longstanding coalition, that they may not even offer and provide the farm bill benefits into law by the deadline. And that's really just a lack of governing is what we continue to see from Republicans in Congress. It's one of the greatest reasons why I'm running against Derek Van Orden. I haven't seen him get things done. I've seen him spend a lot of time attacking his constituents and getting in fights with them and others in Congress, but I haven't seen him fighting for us. And we need a fighter for Wisconsin. We need someone who's going to put everything else aside to solve the problems with anyone who's serious about it that keep the people of Wisconsin up at night. And that's why I'm running.
Yeah, the soft-spoken, you know, kindly grandpa figure that I still see on local news coverage when he comes in to tour a farm or something. I think those news outlets would be better served if right after that they put up on the screen, you know, some of his many, you know, rambling tweets that are, you know, hurling personal insults, even doxing people, as he did last weekend to somebody. But enough about Derek Van Orden. Let's get to you. And let's go with the hypothetical that that it's a good Democratic November, that Democrats win back the House, the Senate, and Joe Biden's in the White House. And whether you're on the Ag Committee or not, you're still going to have this highly agricultural district. So beyond whatever could go in this farm bill in a split Congress, if you had that Democratic trifecta, what are the kinds of investments, what are the kinds of things would you like to see done for the 3rd Congressional District if you were able?
Absolutely. Well, if I were successful and serving in Congress, I would ask to be on the Agriculture Committee. Just as I'm on the Agriculture Committee now, I care a lot about Wisconsin's $105 billion agricultural heritage and industry. It's a key part of our economy. It drives so many jobs, and it's also just in a very important part of rural communities across Wisconsin. And so one of the things that I would do is I would actually want to boost conservation in agriculture. I've been talking to a lot of farmers who love conservation incentives and who are doing everything possible that they can, but many of them are oversubscribed, which means there's just not enough money to support the demand. And the demand continues to grow as we have so many different groups called producer-led watershed groups across the state, farmers who are joining together to protect our land and water. another thing that I would really like to work on outside of agriculture, but in Congress, is to make sure that we codify Roe v. Wade into law, but also work to expand access to contraception and ensure that IVF is accessible to everyone. That would be one of my top priorities. And then finally, we need to work on strengthening our democracy. People are very attuned to the fact that it is hanging by a thread and that this November election is essentially existential. We know that there are so many attacks on our democracy, whether it comes from election deniers or people who no longer believe in the rule of law. And we need to do everything possible to strengthen civic participation and voter engagement in our democracy and make it easier for people to engage, whether it's working to overturn Citizens United, which is a key priority for me. I believe there's way too much money in politics and that we need to empower the average voter instead of the average PAC. There's a lot of work that we can do together in Congress to not only champion Wisconsin, whether it's championing dairy and agriculture, but also to bolster and strengthen our democracy.
And then finally, I was meeting with an assembly candidate yesterday in Eau Claire and let him know, because he'd never run for office before, saying, well, look, you're going to run your race, but people are also going to try to attach you to everything that Tammy Baldwin's done, Tony Evers has done, Joe Biden has done. So likewise, the guilty verdicts that came down last week for Donald Trump, you have Wisconsin, that is a narrow state. What's your own assessment in the 3rd Congressional District of what those guilty verdicts do to a Republican nominee? Obviously, his base is his base, but what do you think it means for your race, if anything, having that kind of thing hanging over you in a presidential election year?
For me, I don't feel that it's hanging over me. I think the law is the law and we're all subject to it. No one is exempt. And what it means is we're going to continue to build our growing and winning coalition of voters who aren't just Democrats, who are with me because they want a candidate with experience who's going to be laser focused on delivering for them. We've already seen people who are independents and even some leaning Republicans who care about abortion and democracy showing up to my events, knowing that we're the best chance we have to take down Derek Van Orden and really restore progress to Congress and restore common sense to Congress. And I think we're going to continue to see independents and some Republicans who care about democracy getting into this building and growing coalition of folks who really care.
And that's exactly what I think is going to strike a chord with so many independents in the 3rd Congressional District. It's what they look for. State Representative Katrina Shanklin, candidate for Congress in the 3rd Congressional District Democratic primary. Thanks, Katrina. Good to talk to you again.
Thank you so much for having me. Looking forward to staying in touch.
You bet. Congressman Mark Pocan, who has endorsed Katrina Shanklin, is coming up next. You're up north. Welcome back to Up North News Radio, where we start by picking on one of our favorite listeners, Tony, who thinks we weren't going to start with the Grateful Dead, and he says, bold choice, Pat. Greg wouldn't stand for this. Well, yeah, Greg is off today. We hope he feels better soon, but Luke is on the job here and is spinning some Grateful Dead ahead of the appearance by Congressman Mark Pocan. But before we get to that, wanted to remind you, Brewers are in Philly. They lost yesterday 3-1. You can catch tonight's pregame starting at 5:05 on Civic Media stations in Richland Center, Racine, Kenosha, Oshkosh, and in Park Falls. You can also sign up for our daily newsletter. Head to upnorthnewswi.com. Get your share of unabashedly Wisconsin news delivered fresh early every morning. And one news note, Up North News was the first outlet to be notified by the Evergreen Collaborative, a climate advocacy group, about a seven-figure ad campaign that started this morning in Wisconsin and Michigan. The ads feature, depending on the state, Governor Tony Evers or Governor Gretchen Whitmer, thanking them for working with President Biden to implement the Inflation Reduction Act and all the ways to fight the effects of a changing climate, create jobs, lower energy costs for households, businesses, school districts, and more. So look for those ads thanking President Biden, Governor Evers, and Governor Whitmer on your screens starting today. All right, let's bring in Congressman Mark Pocan, who is a bit of an expert on the Inflation Reduction Act, having been on the debate and all of its implementation. Congressman, good morning to you.
Hey, good morning, Pat. Thanks for having me.
What I discussed last hour in bringing up this particular group's ad buy is the need for, when people get done wanting to talk about Trump's trials and, you know, the circus thing with the Fauci hearings yesterday, they want to get down to things that actually got done. And the Inflation Reduction Act has more than a few things that are examples of actually getting things done.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, this has been a tale of two sessions. Last session, we got the Inflation Reduction Act done, which is investing into a lot of green energies, but also lowering the cost of our energy, lowering the cost of our healthcare. Don't forget, that's the one that has us negotiating for prescription drug prices, taking on Big Pharma for the first time ever. We also did the infrastructure bill. We also did the CHIPS and Science Act that just landed a bunch of jobs down in southeastern Wisconsin and more and more. This session, we had 19 votes to elect a speaker, and that's about it. So, you know, there's a real contrast to what we got done when Joe Biden had a Democratic majority in the House and the Senate, and the cluster that I go to weekly with this session with the Republicans not knowing who's going to hit the roulette wheel and be the speaker for the week. So, you know.
And it takes me, and I don't want to dwell on this a lot, but the only reason I'm bringing up the committee hearing yesterday with Dr. Anthony Fauci is to point out, you know, what an embarrassment it was. But also I'll pick on the press. You don't have to do it, but framing it as, you know, Dr. Fauci put on defense, you know, slam with questions. Like, no, the actual story is a whole lot of members of Congress embarrassing themselves and basically engaged in bullying that didn't seem to be based in anything that we might call factual information.
Well, I think, you know, there's two things. One, Marjorie Taylor Greene was her embarrassing self, as always refused to call.
And getting too much airtime. I'm sorry, just is, you know.
But you know what? She's the intellectual leader, and I didn't mean to use that word correctly for the Republicans these days. So that tells you the deficit they have. But there was another member who quizzed him on all this money, supposedly, that scientists at NIH made off of this, and asked Dr. Fauci how much he made. She thought she had a great gotcha. And he said there was something he invented 25 years ago that he got a residual check for $122 on. And, you know, she's like, well, you didn't get any of this $710 million? He's like, no, I didn't get any. And just the idea that they have no idea even what they're asking, just they're in gotcha moments when, you know, Dr. Fauci, I think, is kind of an American hero for all the work he's done and continues to do for this country. And to watch, you know, there's a reason why I'm not a big fan of the Oversight Government Reform Committee. I was on it as a freshman, got off it very quickly, is, you know, it's there to have hand-to-hand combat. These days, it's become very performative hand-to-hand combat. I prefer to get things done, and that's why I serve on appropriations.
My favorite social media post about it from somebody that said, talking about Fauci, literally, all this guy did was help save lives. And now, like, once a year, he has to go talk to the dumbest people on earth. And that's basically what the oversight effort is. But you traded that in for appropriations, which again is, you know, what I call getting the work done. It's tough with a split Congress and endless budget standoffs. But, you know, where are we in early June, you know, staring down the appropriations, budget deadlines, shutdowns, everything else? How would you assess things right now?
Yeah, this is my busy season. The problem is the Republican majority is still unable to govern. So when you talk to Republicans who are more traditional, who are kind of quiet these days because this party does not represent them, they even admit we're not going to get anything done before the election. We're going to go through the performance of putting together the various appropriation bills, and we'll probably vote many of them out on the floor between now and in August. But the problem is, they still can't govern with the majority they have. So we will not get this done. You know, whether or not it happens in lame duck after the election will be a question, because there's some Republicans who don't want to do things in lame duck. Bomb. At the end of the day, I guess, is, you know, we have the single responsibility of passing an annual set of appropriation bills, and we've been pretty unable to do that with this majority. So we're going to do our best to get them done. We did get them done 6 months late last time. So there's always, I guess, that we might just get it done later than usual. But unfortunately, you know, this session is going to go down in the history books as being completely inefficient.
There's a new item that says President Biden is about to sign an executive order that would enable him to close the border at a lower level than before of daily contacts. But he has always said that the better path would be to get actual legislation through Congress. And what a lot of Trump supporters forget is that Trump recognized the same thing. He said it during his presidency, the better path is to get a law. And there was one proposed out there because Trump's executive action got tied up in courts. So I guess what I'm saying, Congressman, is I kind of got a sense of deja vu as far as where we're going on the border compared to what we could have gotten done just a couple of months ago.
Yeah, well, don't forget, first of all, when Donald Trump had a Republican majority in the House and the Senate, he did basically nothing with the border. And then, you know, they all complained that somehow Biden's doing something wrong with the border. And yet there was a bipartisan bill moving through the Senate. And Donald Trump said, no, you can't do it because of November. And all the Republicans ruled and they've done nothing. And yes, the president can do some small executive orders. But at the end of the day, what we need are resources at the border. So when someone comes and claims asylum, which is basically the only legal process that people can do right now, it takes on average 3.9 years to have your case heard. So you're in the country for 3.9 years, whether or not you actually are an asylum case or not. The president in that bill had proposed 3 months. So you might not take that unbelievably arduous journey to get here if you think you might be turned around within 3 months. And Republicans refuse to fund it. So Republicans are complete hypocrites on this issue. What we need is funding. The president can't do that. That is required by an act of Congress. And that's part of why the dysfunction is there. It's Congress's fault.
What I hear a lot from your Wisconsin colleagues, Tom Tiffany especially, is that their bill, if I remember right, I think it's H.R. 2, but you know, they said, we already have a plan. We didn't need that bipartisan bill. And they're, of course, hoping that Trump wins and that there are Republican majorities in the House and Senate again, and they would pass, you know, that bill. I guess I'm going to try to be fair for just a moment in asking you, is there an actual plan there? And is it, you know, how different is it from what, you know, you and others would like to accomplish at the border?
Look, this is an issue you're only going to get done in a bipartisan way. When I got to Congress in 2013, there was a bipartisan proposal that got through the Senate with 69 votes, which is almost unheard of, that was never taken up in the House because at the time the Tea Party was the extreme element. Now they're called the moderates when, you know, the MAGA wing has taken over. They never took it up. And then when Donald Trump came in board, you know, clearly this has been politicized to an impossible degree. And right now it's still politicized and we can't get it done. So, you know, their plan doesn't actually work in the way that we need something to. The only way you're ultimately going to get something actually done is in a bipartisan way. And this Congress, this Republican majority, doesn't do that. In fact, they even passed rules that said the only way something can get to the floor is if it has a majority of votes in their caucus. A couple times, Mike Johnson has broken that. But then he has to go through this suspension process where now it requires a 2/3 vote to pass the House. I mean, look, we're irreparably broken. What we need to do is figure out a solution, but we're going to have to do it together.
Speaking of your House Speaker, Mike Johnson, he made comments after former President Trump was found guilty 34 times on counts of criminal activity. And the Speaker said something that I don't think has received nearly the attention it deserves, saying something along the lines of he has had discussions with justices and believes the U.S. Supreme Court should get involved in this state court case out of New York. That's way more than improper for a Speaker of the House to do and say, Congressman.
The party of smaller government, right, like they claim, certainly doesn't do anything that is smaller government. I, in addition to that, I thought Wisconsin's own embarrassment, Derek Van Orden, did, you know, most interesting. I think he tweeted this morning that Fauci should be sent to jail, not Donald Trump after 34 felony counts, not himself after trying to illegally carry a gun on a plane in Iowa, or being on the Capitol grounds on January 6th when it was improper to be on the Capitol grounds. But he wants to jail the person who helped us get through COVID. You know, this is the Republican majority of 2024. This is the way they speak and talk and what they think they can do. They think they can, you know, convince Supreme Court justices to go beyond their jurisdiction. And they think they can jail people that they're not happy with. And, you know, that's what courts are for. That's why jury appears convicted Donald Trump. And they just don't believe in the process at all.
Can I just then transition to the Hunter Biden trial going on this week? Just long enough to note the hypocrisy of favoring the prosecution of the president's son for something they would have never gone along with if imagine if Donald Trump Jr. were being prosecuted for not properly registering his gun with the government. I mean, they'd be going a little wild at that. But
the hypocrisy, Pat, is like off the charts. Here's my real problem. And what makes me sad, you know, I've done this for a long time and I've known you for a long time. You know, the fact that they've torn down, they're trying to tear down the institution of our elections, that you can have and trust our elections, which you have to have to be a democracy. And then they attack the institution of the media because they want to put out false information. They don't want a fair arbiter of what information is out there. And now they're trying to attack the courts, another institution that as a democracy we rely on. If we are not a nation of laws, you're a nation of men. And that can lead to a cult-like behavior like we have. I have to admit this. This is as someone who's been in this for most of my life, I feel, you know, saddened that this is now the acceptable behavior. And I wonder when more people will push back to try to get back to normal.
You and me both. So we'll wrap up here, as I did with Representative Shanklin running for Congress and talking about the Trump verdicts and essentially just how they play in Wisconsin, in the 3rd congressional district for her, in the 2nd congressional district for you. You know, for folks that are just kind of going about their everyday lives, where do you think this ultimately shakes out with, you know, people who are not part of the Trump or Democratic base?
And that's the group that everyone seems to care about at election time, right? The movable folks. I got to think that if, you know, you see a jury of peers that were the jury was selected and approved by the Trump legal team, and that jury of peers, including someone who said they got their news from Truth Social, Trump's own social media outlet, unanimously convicted him of 34 counts, felony counts, for paying off a porn star. Like, I mean, think of all this. This is like someone writing this in the good old days after a few bong hits, right? And this is now reality. I got to believe that people are going to look at this and have a hard time moving to Donald Trump who weren't already there.
Yeah, I mean, look, the 2016 thing of, oh, he's somebody new, you know, that novelty has more than worn off. Congressman Mark Pocan, thank you so much, as always. Always great to catch up with you. Thanks for your time and take care out there.
Yeah, thank you, Pat. Take care.
All right. When we come back, we'll talk to Chad Holmes. We'll talk about what's happening up on Bull Falls Radio, the topics that he's covering up there, whatever else is on his mind, as we get set to wrap things up for a Tuesday morning on Up North News Radio. With the candidates in the 3rd Congressional District Democratic primary, talking to Eric Wilson at 7:06 tomorrow, and then at 7:30 we'll have our usual homeroom segment, and I believe we're talking about sustainability in school districts and trying to keep energy costs down and mitigate the effects of a changing climate. Chad Holmes hopefully will be joining us very soon as well, but first with Luke Mathers in here, you know, pinch hitting for Greg Bach, I wanted to tell you that I watched a new documentary yesterday on the Disney Channel about Jim Henson and all about the early years of, you know, the Muppets, long before Sesame Street, long before the Muppet Show. And I mean, I've just always been a Muppet fan. Not all of Henson's work. Like, I was too old for like Fraggle Rock and things like that. But I would just highly recommend it. It was just a very good telling of Jim Henson's story. So just wanted to throw that out there.
Didn't know where you
were on the spectrum of Muppet fandom.
I mean, I grew up with Muppets, so it was never like a core piece of what I remember growing up. They were always there. They were always scattered around the edges. So I'll have to learn more.
I would think it's because in the 70s, late 70s, when the Muppet Show was coming on, and that's, you know, I had grown out of Sesame Street, and yet here come the Muppets now telling, you know, like kind of more grown up jokes and grown-up mm-hmm. humor. So it just kind of sticks with you. And so I've always been a fan. What did I say at Christmas time? What's my favorite movie? Muppet Christmas Carol.
There you go.
You know, everybody else is going with Jimmy Stewart. You know, he's visited by an angel. Oh, no, I'm going with the frog, okay? I'm going with the frog.
Give Chad me Holmes, Kermit.
Give me Kermit. And Michael Caine, please. Great movie. Chad Holmes, sorry for stepping on your time there, but we were just going over the Jim Henson documentary on Disney that I was streaming yesterday. How are you?
I'm doing good. I apologize for being late. I hit the link and it just, you know, that circle, it just spun round and round and round for 90 seconds. I finally closed it out and I came back in and spun round and round and round. And last 2 days here, and I don't know what's going on, but been having little issues getting connected in different ways. So well, I do apologize.
Lucky you, the guy that you need to talk to is right up there in the upper right corner of your screen. I believe Luke Mathers handles all of these technical things. No, not
Mr.
you?
Mr. Wizard.
Huh? I'll have to send some support. I'll see what I can do.
And by the way, before we let Mr. Mathers go, and again, we hope Greg feels better soon, but I need to, forgive me, Chad, I need to admonish Mr. Mathers, so let me step over here for a minute. You had a cute dog in the studio and didn't hold her up until now?
She's here every time I come, pretty much. I don't come without Aurora at this point.
Holds Aurora she up. Can't, just adorable.
She's too small to be left in the kennel all day, so she comes with.
Okay. All right. I love working at a dog-friendly place, though. I think that's awesome. Chad, you have dogs, pets, parakeets, anything?
I have a hard enough time taking care of myself.
Well, given your schedule.
Oh, man. And I've thought about it. And I would have no idea how to take care of a pet, really. I mean, because I got friends, and it's like, what? I have no idea how I would do it. Mm-hmm. So I think it's probably the best for everybody involved.
I guess so. I know we talked about getting a dog again. You know, we had one for, 13 years when the girls were young. And we talk about getting one in retirement. But, yeah, if you travel just enough, it's part that. But it's also part, I realized, when we were younger, you could handle some things quickly, easily, compared to now. And what I mean is hearing a dog at 3 in the morning going, oop, and knowing you got to rush that dog outside or you're going to need some carpet cleaner at 2 in the morning real quick. I don't miss that. just me. A little bit of news since yesterday. And I think Up North News should take some of the credit for this. We put up a quote card on social media, a quote from Tony Evers from yesterday, saying something along the lines of Robert Atwell was a man of honor, blah, 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 or integrity. And then hours later, he reversed course, Robert Atwell did, and said he would not stay on the UW Board of Regents past his term, being a Scott Walker appointee. And I'm starting to wonder if maybe there are folks on the conservative side of the aisle that are finally getting tired of being obstructionists for obstruction's sake.
Man, you woke up on the right side of the bed apparently this morning. Optimism here that we're turning a page. We're going back into.
I'm merely serving. Asking the question. No, I am not. No, I'm not predicting no, it at no, all. No.
Oh, Chad, it looks like you muted yourself, bud.
Oh, Chad,
I don't know what happened there.
Over there, bud.
Man, there you go. My hands must have hit there, and it's like, you can't be going here, and it's like, wonderful, this utopia of people coming together and actually serving.
Kumbaya, everybody.
Yeah. Actually, it's sort of along the same lines that I was thinking about, and I know that you probably heard about this as well, that former Senator Doug Jones is coming to Wausau.
I was going to ask you about that next. He'll be in Wausau tomorrow talking about Medicare and Social Security.
And I'm going to have a chance to talk to him, and it's going to make for a big Thursday show, Pat Kreitlow and Doug Jones. So a couple of powerhouse political figures on my show on Thursday.
I know who should be in the bigger font on that one, but continue.
But I thought about, and I think you kind of touched on it earlier in the hour as well, about the kind of folks that were questioning Dr. Fauci yesterday. And when I think of Doug Jones and I think about Tommy Tuberville, who replaced him in Alabama, and you think about and you think about Katrina Shanklin, who you had on previously, about the people that come in and want to get things done. And I often talk about the workhorse versus the show horse.
Right.
And I often compare our U.S. senators, because you see, Ron Johnson appearing on all these right-wing television and radio programs all the time. And then you got you got Tammy Baldwin who just gets the job done. She's not, you know, putting her face out there every single day in order to, you know, show how important she is. She just does the work. And I think of guys like Doug Jones who came in there and was able to win an election, you know, with the help of a really bad candidate, but he came in there and he did the job. And I think he handled himself exceptionally well for a senator in a state like Alabama, where there's a lot of different pressures pushing you. And then you think, you hear about, and then you hear some of the folks that were in front of the microphone yesterday, and you read some of the social media about, you know, basically calling Dr. Fauci a murderer. And it's just,
it embarrassing.
It was embarrassing, but it was also depressing.
Yeah.
And I just love the idea of being able to talk to people who really care about getting things done. And I think along the line you say, I mean, it's wonderful to think about people on both sides of the aisle coming in and saying, hey, we got to accomplish something. We got to make sure that we make the lives of our constituents better. So, and again, it's just, I hope that maybe we are getting to that precipice where better is in the future.
See, look at the optimism that we're spreading here. That's what we're all about here. That's our new brand, optimism. At least until tomorrow, you know. Chad Holmes coming up next on Bull Falls Radio and the Civic Media app. Thank you, sir. Have a great morning.
Bye-bye.
Luke, thanks for pinch hitting. We'll talk to you a little later on as well.
Hope Always
all of
pleasure.
You have a great day. And again, keep in mind that we will be back here tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. Thanks for joining us up here on the lake. We'll see you tomorrow up north.